Well, greetings to you all this morning. In Jesus' name, let's stand for prayer. What else can we say, Lord? Holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty, which is and which was and which ever shall be. Holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty, we do submit ourselves, we bow before you, we reverence you, we worship you this morning. All praise and glory and thanksgiving and power and blessing be unto your name, which sitteth upon the throne. Hallelujah to the Lamb this morning that was slain for the sins of mankind, for my sin. Thank you, Lord, for taking me off the trash heap. Thank you for salvaging us. Oh God, we give you thanks this morning. Help us to not get over the wonder of it all. Dear Lord, have mercy on us this morning. Lift us up above the shadows. Plant our feet on higher ground. Oh God, I pray you would anoint your word to our hearts this morning. I ask it in Jesus' name. And while you're still standing, I wonder if we could turn to song number 267, I believe it is. And could somebody bring Brother Mark the microphone there? That I'll have to have his help in leading it. Number 267. I think we know that a little bit, don't we? Or Brother Mark, can you lead us in it? Okay. be seated. From all impureness, make me clean, is the prayer here. That's a newer song than I guess I thought it was. Thank you, Brother Mark. But trust that its message will be clear here. Thank you, Brother Ron, for your encouragement to trust in the Lord. And thank you for that doctrinal children's lesson, Brother Jeff. And thank you to the Coopers for that those beautiful verses and song. My heart was ministered to. Not to make excuse for the preacher, but I just read a statement last evening that it was an article about complainers, and I forget what the title of the article was, but something to the effect that some people just aren't thankful, and that the problem with a message many times with them is not that the message wasn't good, but that they didn't have ears to hear it. So I pray that God would give us all ears to hear today. I'd like to have you all turn to Proverbs chapter 5. I think we'll just read the whole chapter. I believe it would be nice just to read this all together. Let's try to read this together, and the way to stick together is to observe the commas, the periods, the semicolons. If you do a little pause there, if everyone does a little pause at each comma and period, I think we can stick together real good on this. Proverbs chapter 5. My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house. Lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger, and thou mourn at the last, when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. Drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be only thine own, and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as the loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman, and embrace the bosom of a stranger? For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. Well, it is a bit of a different message probably for me to preach, and certainly was difficult to submit to preaching it. And I can certainly say that I have no one in mind in preaching it here today, but just in seeing its importance in Scripture and the weight that God puts on this subject, I couldn't get away from it. And knowing that it is one of the temptations that we face, though there's no temptation taken us but such as is common to man, this is one of those temptations. It's the, I don't know what to title the message, but it has to do with the sin of lust, and what Jesus said is adultery, fornication. Jesus says to that if we look on a woman to lust after her, we have committed adultery with her already in our heart. And probably there's a greater emphasis in the book of Proverbs on this subject than any other subject. And there are many admonitions to flee this sin of fornication and adultery. And knowing my own tendency in this temptation, and that it's something that faces all mankind, I felt the Lord was impressing upon my heart to bring a message about this sin. The other thing I think is good to say here at the start is that Solomon himself, the one that we would understand has written this, this was his greatest failure, probably. I was blessed this morning at the scripture that Brother Ron read there about David when he came up against that difficult time in his life. It says, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. What a wonderful but that is. But you can flip the pages of Scripture. And I don't have it here in front of me. I was I read it as I was studying here. The reference escapes me. But in speaking of Solomon, it says, but Solomon had many strange wives, but Solomon loved many strange women. And I pondered that and I thought, wow, that's like one of the saddest buts in the Bible. And because that was fresh on my mind, the one that Brother Ron read to us about David really jumped out at me. That's one of the most exciting buts. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. So, don't think you're above this temptation. And don't think that you can't fall. I think that the extreme plausibility of the temptation calls our attention to it. Plausibility just meaning that it's something forbidden, but it can seem so right at times. And in Proverbs 2 verse 16 it says, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. I think it basically says the same thing in 6:24. 23 says, the commandment is a lamp, the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. And 7:21 says, with her much fair speech she caused him to yield, with the flattering of her lips she forced him. And that indicates to me that there sometimes can come situations in our life that we can be persuaded. There is a persuasion here that is that takes the grace of God. We have the example of Joseph, who had been persuaded in his heart that he was not going to defile himself. Well, it says that of Daniel. I'm not sure what it says of Joseph there, but we know that when Potiphar's wife tried to persuade him, he fled. He left his coat and fled. But because it's something that there seems to be a delusion comes over the soul, I believe, at a time like that, or can. A great delusion. When the hour of temptation is upon the person, it seems like even there, we can somehow excuse or defend ourselves in the power of that moment. I heard it said, I read somewhere that one of the kings of England in the past had a mistress that was said to have been the most devoted, the most devout woman in her religious duties. And it seems to indicate a very spiritual person in Proverbs chapter 7 that says, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. So it seems to me that a great delusion happens in those hours of temptation if our minds aren't stayed upon Jehovah. Well, let's just look at the scriptures, and I'm not going to be much here in the Old Testament, just because there's so many scriptures about it, but I'd just like to take a good look at it and see how much God talks about it and how clear it is, this the sin of lusting, desiring a woman, or the woman desiring a man, or worse yet, a man desiring a man, or a woman desiring a woman, and the sin, the impurity, the degradation that is, and how it separates us from God. I want to lift that up this morning as one of the youthful lusts that we must flee from, and not just a youthful lust, but a sin that we must be fleeing at all times. And I'll just take your attention to Proverbs chapter 16. This really stood out to me the other day. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. And I, first of all, want to lift up this sin of adultery and fornication as one of those evils that we need to be departing from. And the picture here that's painted, the highway of the upright is to depart from evil. We all know that highways are roads that we travel on to get us where we're going. Wherever we go, we typically will take a highway to get there. And the we don't sit and wonder about the fact that it may be closer if we go across the field or if we go through the woods. We'll take the road without question, without considering it. We just travel by the road to get to where we're going. And we all know that makes perfect sense to do so. And the highway of the upright is to depart from evil. The picture I have there in my mind is, if you're an upright person, it's the testimony of your life that you run from evil. It's the testimony of your life that you want no question marks on your life as to whether you're living in sin or not. You have a clear, marked testimony. The road of running away from evil is well trodden. It's a smoothed out highway. There are no blocks and no potholes in that road. It's clear that man is running from evil. So I trust we can do that with this sin. It says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 28. Verse 27. Jesus saying, "You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And then he goes on to say, if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Jesus saw this sin as so serious that he's saying, don't let anything stop you from fleeing this evil of adultery, of looking on a woman to desire her. If it's not your wife, I should say here in the beginning that Hebrews says marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled. That means it's pure. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. This is something that, like in most most other things that the devil perverts and makes turns what God meant for good into evil, God has created within each one of us a desire for the other. There is something that God has given us that is pure, and it is right and good for a man and a woman to come together in marriage, in holy matrimony. And that relationship is undefiled. But outside of that relationship, it is defiled. And so I guess while the message is for everybody, let me give a special exhortation to you young people to take heed to this sin. Proverbs 6 there says that this sin will bring you to a piece of bread. This sin, Proverbs says, has a hook in it. It looks and smells sweet as honey, but it has a dangerous hook in it. Her ways are the way to hell, Proverbs says. Strong language there in Proverbs that we just read, and in Proverbs chapter 7. And Jesus makes no less. He doesn't let up from that strength and says, if your right eye offends you, pluck it out. It would be better for you to lose your eyes than go to hell. Matthew 15, verse 19 says, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. Adulteries, fornications, these things defile a man. In just about every list of sins, and maybe everyone in the scriptures, in the New Testament here, talk about adulteries and fornications. Acts 15. Verse 20, when the church came together to decide where to draw the lines with the Gentiles there, conclusion was, we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols and from fornication, and from things strangled, and from blood. You know, there's a lot of things not in that list, isn't there? But fornication is in there. And Romans 1, we see that the reprobate mind
in verse 28 that did not like to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness. And the first one is fornication. And 1 Corinthians 5, verse 9 says, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. And there's speaking of the one where a man had his father's wife, and they were supposed to purge that person. They were to excommunicate him from the congregation. Again, we see that the apostles also didn't take lightly this matter of fornication and adultery. 1 Corinthians 6:15 says, but if the unbelieving depart, let him depart, a brother or a sister. I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong spot here. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 15. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. And in verse 18 it says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. There it almost would seem that this sin is elevated above many other sins. If there's a category in God's book of sins of bad to worst, it would seem this is the worst. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 8 says, neither let us commit fornication, as some of them did, speaking of the children of Israel, and fell in one day because of this sin, 23,000. God takes this sin very seriously. And in Galatians 5, verse 19, he says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. 2 Peter 2. I'm just sort of hurrying through here to give you the scriptures. I think it's good for us just to ponder these scriptures. 2 Peter 2, verse 9 says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. And verse 14, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices. Cursed children, which have forsaken the right way. Let's look at Ephesians 5 here. I sort of skipped over that. Ephesians 5, verse 3 says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. I think if it's not going to be once named among us, I think we need to lift it up and preach about it, don't we? For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Verse 11 and 12. have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. And I must say that we live in a society where it's talked about unashamedly. And you go in the public restrooms, you almost have to go in there with your eyes closed. It's a shame to look at the things that have been written and drawn on the walls and things of the world. God save us from this untoward generation. Colossians 3 verse 5 says, mortify means put to death your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence and covetousness, which is idolatry. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 here says in verse 3, this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. So, I think there should be no question in our minds that this is a serious offense to God. I think we all would be convinced that this is an offense. The greatest concern I guess I would have for us inside these four walls this morning is that we live in a real world, in a fallen world, and I think these sins can creep up on us, and in a sense, we can be under a spell, under a delusion of the spirit of fornication and not even know it. Or perhaps be justifying ourselves. Such as looking on a woman. And we may think, and we may try to justify that it's okay to just look. And there are lots of opportunities for us. We live in a society that has no conscience against taking their clothes off. We are plagued with what are they called? The little convenience stores that aren't fit to walk into. They all have these big racks that display these magazines, and they're not fit to look at. And according to the Word of God, they're defiling and they're unclean and full of perversions. I fear lest we come under the delusion of living in a society that has given themselves over to the lusts of their flesh, that we get used to it, and that we are getting used to the dark and can be committing fornication with our eyes and not even being convicted about it. We can, I believe, commit fornication by the way that we act, by the way that we dress. Ladies, I think this applies to you. You need to be careful about the thoughts that you think. And why are you dressing the way you're dressing? Are you trying to get the attention of some young man? Be careful. The spirit of fornication is just around the corner. And what about our thoughts? We can be pretty secret about our thoughts, can't we? No one can see our thoughts. No one can see where we're. We can think that, well, just because no one can see my thoughts, no one can hear my thoughts, I can entertain some of these unclean thoughts. But the secret is, what did we read in Proverbs chapter 5? Verse 21 says, "The ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings." So the thoughts that you're thinking are not hid from God. The key is to fear God. The key is to be aware of the presence of God. The secret to victory here is being conscious of the only true and living God, being aware of who you are. This is not a little matter. We just read the scriptures. We don't just have one verse to pull out of context somewhere. We have a lot of scripture. God has a lot to say about this. And it's clear in the Old Testament. God had a lot to say when he was given his people the law. There's many specific things about this matter of uncleanness, and gives very clear instructions, and the person that was would defile themselves in this way were to be killed. Some of them were to even be burnt, many times stoned. And that's why the woman was brought to Jesus there, because they knew the law said she's to be stoned.
Well, there wouldn't be many of us left, would there? Are you on the highway of departing from this evil? Do you take this one seriously? In the secret places of your heart? Are you taking this one seriously? Are you keeping your eyes away from perversions? Are you keeping your thoughts on things above? Are you keeping your conversations above board here? As I meditated on this, I thought, you know, when we fall to these temptations, it's not just, it rarely will happen when we are focusing our heart and our attention and our affections on the Lord Jesus. And when we're fulfilled in Christ, and when we're alive in Him, and when He's our all in all, and when He means something to us, then these things don't have a hold on us.
But it's as we become caught up in the cares of life or pursuing other things. Brother Arthur and I were just talking this morning about all of the many things that we can wrap our hearts up in, whether it's motorcycles or, I don't know what all we mentioned there, the sports world, it seems like a lot of my clients in the deck business like to go golfing. That seems to have a lot of people's attention and focus. And regardless of what it is, maybe it's our work. Maybe we're too wrapped up in our work. Or laboring to get rich. When that happens and a coolness for Christ settles over our heart, then these temptations become much more powerful and harder to resist, and you have to take the second look, or you find yourself powerless to imaginations in your mind. And well, God doesn't leave us without help here. Paul told Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:22, that we're to flee these youthful desires, these youthful lusts. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, flee also youthful lusts, but rather, now see, we don't just have a message of don't do, don't do, don't do, stay away from, but rather follow. Here's something you can run after. Here's something you can put your energies into. Follow righteousness, follow faith, follow charity, follow peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Paul admonishes Timothy, stay away from youthful lusts, flee them things, but flee to these things. In my conclusion, I would like to take you to Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 28 through 32. Because he considereth and turneth away. Well, I should probably back up. So let's start in verse 27. Again, when the wicked man turneth away from his wickedness that he hath committed, and doeth that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive. Because he considereth and turneth away from all his transgressions that he hath committed, he shall surely live. He shall not die. Yet saith the house of Israel, the way of the Lord is not equal. O house of Israel, are not my ways equal? Are not your ways unequal? Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, every one according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Cast away from you all your transgressions whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live ye. What a beautiful conclusion to such a dark story here this morning. That if you are finding yourself all bound up, and you know, there are some people that are bound up in this sin, and they think there's no hope for them. And
And I must say, the more you have fed this beast, the stronger he's going to be. If you've kept that lion in a cage for the last 20 years, he might be hard to kill. But there is hope this morning. If you find yourself in this bondage, whether you are a man or a woman, young or old, you can be free. This is Old Testament here we read. And there's such a spark of hope here. And I will say also that it's because of this scripture, I believe, that the woman that was brought to Jesus had hope, or that Jesus didn't condemn her. I think she had repented already because he told her, go and sin no more. I think he already saw the repentance of her heart. I think she had repented. And Jesus was well aware of these scriptures, and he saw life for her. He saw hope for her. Go and sin no more. Turn ye. You can turn. You can have hope. You can have a new heart and a new spirit. But you won't, as long as you argue with God about your sin, as long as you justify what you've done, as long as you try to make the terms and not come to God's terms. Because here in verse 29, he says, yet saith the house of Israel, the way of the Lord is not equal. It's not fair. What I did seems more minor than what that person over there did, and he didn't get judged the same, or I don't know what all their reasonings were here, but they were refusing God's wonderful offer to them of having life, having a new heart, a new spirit, a new start in life. God says, I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth. Yeah, you will die. And if you're living in this sin, it will bring you down to the chambers of death, as it says in Proverbs. But God has no pleasure in that. Wherefore, turn yourselves. What a wonderful gift has been granted to us. The gift of repentance. We can be free. Though we are living in bondage, we can be free. Though we are caught up in the selfishness and lusts of our flesh, we can be delivered. We can receive a new heart and a new spirit. Amen. Girls, you don't have to live in those fantasies. And boys, you don't have to live in those impurities. And the worst thing you could do is sit there and harden your heart and say, it's a secret. And I'm too ashamed to let anyone know that I looked at that dirty magazine. Or whatever it is. But why? Why do you refuse God's offer? Cast away from you all your transgression whereby you have transgressed, and God will make you a new heart. Turn you yourselves and live. And I guess that's my message this morning. Also, one of the ways that I would like to just exhort us in is to Let's, as brothers, as sisters, as a family, let's love one another enough to talk to each other about these things. Let's keep each other accountable in this. If there's no temptation taken us but such as is common to man, that gives me the comfort that the same things you battle with from day to day are the ones that I battle with. And we can help one another. Let's not just be quiet. Let's not, like I've so often done, just assume everything's all right. Assume you had a good day. Assume that everything was fine and dandy. You know, that's wrong for us to do that. We need to be our brother's keeper. Sisters, you need to be your sister's keeper. And recognize that we're in a war. And in wars, men get shot down. Men get wounded. And let's lift one another up.
Amen. And amen, brother. As we travel through this life and travel in the world today, you know, I often say to myself as I see those kind of sights, those kind of things that are set up to ensnare the opposite sex, I often say, you have no idea what you're doing, you know. And that's so true. I don't think that today's generation has been able to even come close to getting a grip of what they're doing to themselves, to mankind, to all of society, by flaunting the private parts of the body in such a way as to cause so much stumbling. And probably the worst that I feel about this matter is the way it has wiggled its way into the Christian church, into the professed Christian church, where the administration or ministers and pastors are looking the other way when these things are taking place right in front of their eyes. People are dressing like this to go to church. People are dressing like this in youth groups and youth outings, and think nothing of it. And regular pastors and youth pastors look the other way and let it all take place without saying a word. And it's an abomination to God. It's sin in His holy eyes. And I'm sure, Brother Dean, you didn't exhaust all the scriptures, probably near, that could have been quoted and read on this subject. Oh, may God preserve a standard of purity and modesty in our midst. It's probably one of the things that I think about often in the church here, the blessed privilege we have to come here on a Sunday morning, a Wednesday night, or in each other's homes, and you just have none of that, hardly. Those things do not jump out and draw your attention and draw your eyes, and you can sit and visit with each other, opposite sex in the room, and not have those things. And I am so jealous over that, that that could be preserved. Because as you look around the county here, we don't go very far from the conservative groups until we struggle, until it's a battleground. On Sundays, at youth meetings, in their volleyball games, and so on, where there's the flaunting going, weddings. We had a wedding here yesterday, it's just hard to believe. Yeah, right out of the conservative groups, the things that you have to see and battle with, where you just, again, I have to say over and over again, girls, you don't understand what you're doing. You have no idea what you're doing. And I guess many of them are probably informed from time to time by mothers and by preachers. I would hope so. And yet turn a deaf ear and go do it anyhow. And that is sadder still. Now they have knowledge. They understand the implications of these things and do it anyhow. May God help us. And may God grant us to hold to those standards where we can be, give our eyes rest, at least when we gather. We cannot do that in the world, for then we must needs go out of the world, the Bible would say.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.